More deaths and destruction have been reported as the Israeli regime keeps pounding the Gaza Strip with airstrikes and artillery. Palestinians laid to rest the family members of the Hamas political bureau chief who were assassinated in an Israeli airstrike on Gaza. Also in the headlines, Israeli forces have conducted fresh violent raids on occupied Palestinian territories. Well, welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is Mias. Thanks for joining us. More deaths and destruction have been reported as the Israeli regime keeps pounding the Gaza Strip with airstrikes and artillery. According to Gaza's health ministry, Israeli strikes across the Gaza Strip killed 63 people and wounded 45 more over the past 24 hours. The latest fatalities have pushed the overall death toll in Gaza since October 7 to more than 33,500. In the latest Israeli strikes, at least 8 people were killed in the southern district of Rafah. Another 5 Palestinians lost their lives after Israeli warplanes targeted the Al-Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza. Also, Israeli tanks shelled residential complexes in the Zahra neighborhood north of Nusayrat and damaged homes there. The Al-Shati refugee camp west of the besieged territory was not spared, and 5 Palestinians were killed there. Earlier, our correspondent Muti Abu Musaba joined us from the central Gaza city of Deir al-Bala and gave us the latest about the situation in the war-ravaged strip amid the ongoing Israeli onslaught there.
Yes, actually, the Israeli occupation forces intensified and concentrated their airstrikes and attacks against the central area of Gaza Strip generally and against the northern part on the outskirts of Al-Nusayrat refugee camp, basically, as the Israeli fighter jets and the Israeli warplanes carried out several airstrikes against those areas that reached Al-Amal town, which is located, as you know, in the northern part of Al-Nusayrat refugee camp, and even Al-Mughraga town. They were under heavy bombardments of the continuous and the chronic Israeli airstrikes. In addition to that, the Israeli artillery also maintained its shelling towards those areas. Over the last hour, the Israeli occupation forces and the Israeli artillery shelling targeted the gate of a school that was taken shelter as by the Palestinian evacuees in Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. At least 5 Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed over that attack. In the meantime, 2 other Palestinians were reportedly killed as a result of the continuous and the ceaseless Israeli artillery shelling that is still hitting those areas till this moment as we speak right now. Those parts actually are still subjected to heavy bombardments of the Israeli artillery shelling. It was a horrific night for the Palestinian people there. In the meantime, the eastern outskirts of the central area of Gaza Strip were subjected to heavy bombardments of the artillery shelling, particularly the eastern part of Deir al-Balah and al-Maghazi refugee camp, as the Israeli artillery shelling and was maintained against those areas amid continuous and heavy gunfire of the Israeli choppers and the Israeli helicopters against those areas.
Palestinian mourners have laid to rest the family members of the Hamas political bureau chief and several others who were martyred in an Israeli airstrike on Gaza. The burial ceremony was held in Gaza City. On Wednesday, 3 sons of Ismail Haniyeh, identified as Hazem, Amir, and Mohammed, were killed after the regime warplanes hit a vehicle in the Al-Shati refugee camp in northern Gaza. 4 grandchildren of Haniyeh were also among those killed. It was a targeted attack on the Eid al-Fitr day, which marked the end of the holy month of Ramadan. People in the besieged strip celebrated the occasion in the shadow of the ongoing Israeli genocide. Several Palestinians were in the street at the time of the deadly Israeli strike. Some of them recount the harrowing moments of the attack.
We were still near the school. They were here to visit the families of the martyrs. When we heard the sound of a strike nearby, we went outside to see, and they said it was the children of my uncle Abu Abed Haniyeh. There are bodies and body parts after they targeted the car, and there were 3 missiles from a drone fired by the Israeli forces.
The sons of Ismail Haniyeh, head of the Hamas political bureau, 3 of them were driving in the car. They were there and 3 drone strikes hit. 3 sons of Haniyeh and 3 of their children were hit. Their body parts went everywhere. There are even some remains on our house. We found a hand and a leg. There are body parts anywhere you look.
Ismail Haniyeh reacted to the martyrdom of his family members, saying that their blood will only boost the Palestinians' resolve to resist the Israeli occupation. Meanwhile, a chorus of condemnations and condolences poured in over the Israeli killings. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement condemned the atrocity, calling it a war crime and a barbaric massacre. Yemen's Ansarullah movement said that such sacrifices strengthen the steadfastness of Palestinians against the occupying regime. Lebanon's Hezbollah, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and Iraq's Islamic Resistance also offered their condolences to Haniyeh. Iran also condemned the Israeli airstrike, with President Ebrahim Raisi saying that this shows Israel's disregard for all human and moral principles. He said the crime further exposes the savage and child-killing nature of the regime. Separately, Iran's foreign minister said that Israel's criminal actions will speed up the regime's collapse. Charlotte Cates is an international coordinator of Samidun Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network. She joined us from Vancouver with her take on Israel's targeted killings, including family members of Palestinian resistance leaders and fighters.
The Zionist regime has consistently used assassinations as a mechanism of warfare against the Palestinian people and as a mechanism of genocide, because these assassinations are meant to deny the Palestinian people fundamentally their self-determination through assassinating leaders, through assassinating leaders' families. Right now what we're seeing is this is what the Zionist regime means by negotiating a ceasefire is killing the children and grandchildren of Ismail Haniyeh. And of course, this isn't restricted to Palestinians. The notorious crime that the occupation regime just carried out last week in Syria, attacking the Iranian embassy and murdering people, including Iranian generals and leaders. This is a strategy that the Zionist regime uses in the belief that by engaging in these campaigns of terror, they'll be able to wipe out the resistance or take away the knowledge and leadership that the Palestinian people and the regional forces need in order to resist and win victory. But one thing has been clear throughout this entire history of decades and decades of assassinations and decades of criminal war crimes is that none of this has done anything to legitimize the Zionist nor to crush or kill the Palestinian people and their resistance.
Israeli forces have conducted new raids across the occupied West Bank. They abducted a number of Palestinians in their latest attacks. Our Ramallah correspondent Mona Kandil gives us more details.
We were speaking about Israeli military incursions to Tul Karim and to areas in Al Khalil, but now we are speaking about Israeli military raids to Tul Karim, to Al Khalil, to Jenin, to Nablus, to Al Amari refugee camp in Ramallah, as well as to settlers' aggression in the area near Nablus. So the Israeli forces had, as usual, expanded their military incursions to several areas across the occupied West Bank. In Tul Karim, the Israeli forces stormed the area of Shweke and arrested at least five Palestinians from there, including one former or ex-Palestinian prisoner. In Al Khalil, the Israeli troops stormed Idna and Beit Umar, attacked Palestinians, raided the homes, questioned the people there. The exact number of the Palestinians who had been detained is not known, those who were arrested in the areas of Al Khalil. The Israeli forces had also stormed the town of Aurif, south Nablus, and they attacked Palestinians there. They forced their way into the homes away. In addition to Aurif, the Israeli forces stormed the village of Azzoun, east Qalqilya. In the last 4 days, let's say, the Israeli forces had been storming the villages of Azzoun and Jayus almost on a daily basis. A Palestinian had carried out a shooting several days ago, and the Israeli forces are still searching for this Palestinian who carried out the shooting at Israeli soldiers and settlers in an area between Azzoun and Jayus near Qalqilya. And every day the Israeli forces are storming these areas, raiding the Palestinians' homes and questioning them, and they are looking for this Palestinian.
Tensions remain high between Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement and Israel since the beginning of the regime's genocidal war in Gaza. Both sides continue to exchange fire along Lebanon's southern border. In the latest attacks, Israeli warplanes bombed several Lebanese villages and towns. Hezbollah also retaliated by targeting Israeli military outposts in the occupied Sheba farms. Our Beirut correspondent, Mariam Saleh, joined us earlier with details.
But they did target several areas in the town of Dhaira. We know that there was an elderly woman who was wounded as a result of the shelling against the town of Dhaira, which was in near some of the houses that are in the outskirts of Dhaira. Dhaira is relatively close to the border. We know also that sirens were sounding in several of the settlements and the Iron Dome system was activated. We're not sure exactly where Hezbollah hit, but we know from yesterday's operations, Hezbollah basically it decreased the number of operations. We had only two significant operations, basically against the Shabaab Farms posts, the occupied Lebanese Shabaab Farms post, and another post, which is in occupied Palestinian territory on the western side of the border. So this is just part of it, and we have statements coming out from the Hezbollah members of parliament who all went to the border side, saying that they will even continue to support the people who have decided to stay in those towns and those villages, despite the fact that we do have displacement from the ones that are just adjacent to the border. But the rest of the towns are all people either receiving displaced people or people who are still in their houses, and that in itself is considered one of the major blows of the Israelis. The number of displaced people compared to the past that we've had, for example, in 2006, we've always had the people of Lebanon always being displaced from all of South Lebanon. During the occupation, you had hundreds of thousands of people forced to exile or to leave their towns and villages.
Nicaragua has announced the closure of its embassy in the German capital, Berlin. Nicaragua's consular tasks and official businesses in Germany will now be handled by its embassy in Austria. The Central American nation took the move amid its row over Germany's arms sales to the Israeli regime. Last month, the government of President Daniel Ortega filed a case at the International Court of Justice against Germany for giving financial and military aid to Israel and for defunding the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees. Managua accused the European country of facilitating the Israeli genocide in Gaza. The ICJ held two-day hearings on the case this week. Nicaragua hopes the top UN court would issue provisional measures to stop Germany from arming Israel. Iranians have marked the end of the holy month of Ramadan by performing Eid al-Fitr rituals and taking part in mass prayers. But celebrations this year were overshadowed by the ongoing genocidal war in Gaza. Gisumi Shahmadi has more.
Eid, but no Eid, marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan with the same rituals, but definitely not the same festive mood. Iranians observing Eid al-Fitr by taking part in mass prayers as always. Nonetheless, this year, the ongoing genocidal war in Gaza on their minds, and sharing videos of Gaza on an occasion that is one of the most important holidays on the Islamic calendar.
We will always support our brothers and sisters in Palestine. The Zionists should know that they are not alone. All it takes is a word from our leader and we will be ready to fight.
We will always support the Palestinians. We always have. And today, I brought my two daughters as a message to the mothers in Gaza that we will always be there for them no matter what.
This also became the main theme of the leader's Eid al-Fitr address, as he strongly criticized Islamic governments that have not cut ties with and support the Zionist regime.
Eid al-Fitr is supposed to be a happy occasion, but this year Iranians are not happy because of the ongoing genocidal war in Gaza. Yusuf Shahmadi, Tehran.
Millions of Muslims celebrate Eid al-Fitr worldwide, marking the end of the holy fasting month of Ramadan. This year's Ramadan came as Israel's war in Gaza continued unabated and claimed more civilian lives even during the holy month. Fatima Masami reports from the Iraqi city of Karbala.
Muslims around the world are celebrating Eid al-Fitr, which marks the conclusion of the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah, the month of the Holy Quran, and the month of prayer and piety. Muslims mark the Eid with mass prayers and gather together for special prayers and contribute financially to charitable causes. The celebration of the Eid emphasizes the values of spiritual upliftment, unity, and generosity towards those who are in need. The holy month of Ramadan holds immense significance in Islam and for Muslims worldwide. The month of fasting also marks the revelation of the Holy Quran to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The birth of Imam Hassan, the second Shia Imam, also falls in this month. So does the martyrdom of Imam Ali, the first Shia Imam and the leader of the believers. This year's Eid al-Fitr came amid Israeli-U.S. genocidal war on Gaza. The incessant, devastating war continued to claim civilian lives even during the holy month, with fasting Palestinians losing their lives to Israeli atrocities and barbarism. Palestinians' plight in the war-torn Gaza is the most important issue of the Muslim world today. The war has dehumanized the entire Palestinian population in Gaza and decimated the life there. The Palestinians have sacrificed everything that was dear to them, their children, spouses, mothers, fathers, and their homes, but remain committed to their faith and their resistance to the Israeli occupation. The holy month of Ramadan was not just about fasting, but also about Muslim unity, in particular against injustice. This month, we sympathize with Palestinians in the war-torn Gaza and express solidarity with our brothers and sisters who are enduring the most savage crimes seen in modern history. Fateh Masumi, Karbala.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight. The head of the World Health Organization has said the killing of Gaza's children is a stain on all of humanity. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The head of the World Health Organization, WHO, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, has called for an end to the Israeli regime's ongoing genocidal war in Gaza, saying the high number of children casualties in the besieged territory will remain a stain on all of humanity. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, in a post on X on Sunday, 7th of April, said, "The deaths and grievous injuries of thousands of children in Gaza will remain a stain on all of humanity. This assault on present and future generations must end." He also condemned as inhumane and intolerable the denial of basic needs by the Israeli regime, including the cutting off of food, fuel, sanitation, shelter, security and healthcare, stressing that the fact that over 70% of deaths in Gaza are by women and children and should be a compelling reason for halting the war in Gaza. The World Health Organization chief further noted that the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas's attack against the Israeli regime in early October of last year does not justify the horrific ongoing bombardment and siege by the Israeli regime. He also reiterated his call for peace while vowing to continue to serve healthcare workers, patients and communities in Gaza. The latest development comes just a week after World Health Organization reported that newborn mortality is rising sharply in Gaza, as the Israeli regime has destroyed the Palestinian territory's healthcare system. The Israeli regime began its genocidal war in Gaza on 7th of October last year, after the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas carried out Operation Al-Aqsa Storm against the usurping entity in retaliation for its intensified atrocities against the Palestinian people. Meanwhile, the Islamic Republic of Iran says the aggression by the United States and Britain against Yemen is a violation of the country's territorial integrity and in line with support for Israel's crimes and atrocities against oppressed Palestinians in Gaza. Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian made the remark in a meeting with Mohammad Abdussalam, the senior representative of Yemen's National Salvation Government, in the Omani capital Muscat on Sunday, 7th of April. Hossein Amir Abdollahian praised the brave support of the Yemeni armed forces for the oppressed Palestinian people in the fight against the Israeli regime over the past 6 months. In recent months, the United States and its allies have launched illegal attacks on Yemen amid their frustration in the face of anti-Israel maritime campaign by the Yemeni armed forces. In support of Gaza, the Yemeni armed forces have targeted Israeli ships going to and from ports in the occupied Palestinian territories, or those linked to Israel in the southern Red Sea, in the Bab el-Mandab Strait, in the Gulf of Aden, and even in the Arabian Sea. The US-led attacks on Yemen has prompted the country's military to declare American and British vessels to be legitimate targets. Also, Israeli occupation forces are deliberately targeting Palestinian women in their genocidal war in Gaza, according to a Palestinian minister. The comment was made in a Sunday, 7th of April, press statement by the Palestinian government's Minister of Women's Affairs, Munah Al-Khalili. Al-Khalili noted that 9,560 Palestinian women have been killed by the Israeli military since the beginning of the genocidal campaign in Gaza on 7th of October last year. Women in the Gaza Strip are suffering from the most dangerous and harsh conditions in decades as a result of deteriorating health and living conditions, displacement, and lack of shelter, in addition to the lack of food and water, the Palestinian minister said. Munah Al-Khalili stated that there are approximately 15,000 pregnant women currently in the Gaza Strip, 95% of whom do not eat sufficient amounts of food, which increases health risks to the mother and the fetus. She added that there are about 1 million forcibly displaced Palestinian women who face exacerbated risks in shelter centers which lack basic facilities. Munah Al-Khalili said approximately 37 Palestinian mothers are killed every day in Gaza, leaving behind devastated families and displaced children. In an interview with Press TV on 26 of March, Reem Al-Salem, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women and Girls, said the violence inflicted on Palestinian women and children by the Israeli regime could qualify as acts of genocide under Article 2 of the Genocide Convention. AFP news agency Agence France-Presse has also covered the same story and tells us more. The United Nations and other international aid organizations on Sunday, 7th of April, decried the devastating toll of 6 months of warfare in Gaza, warning that the Palestinian territory had become beyond catastrophic. 6 months is an awful milestone, the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Society said, warning that humanity has been all but abandoned in the severity of the conflict in Gaza. The Israeli regime's genocidal offensive in Gaza has killed at least 33,175 Palestinians, many of them women and children, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry in the territory. The World Health Organization chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus made a new condemnation of the barbaric act of violence, thus unleashed the war. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus stressed that the atrocity does not justify the horrific ongoing bombardment, siege and health system demolition by the Israeli regime in Gaza, killing, injuring and starving hundreds of thousands of civilians, including aid workers. Adhanom Ghebreyesus, wrote on X, formerly known as Twitter, "The denial of basic needs such as food, fuel, sanitation, shelter, security and healthcare is inhumane and intolerable. Of Gaza's 36 main hospitals, only 10 remain even partially functional, according to the World Health Organization." The WHO chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus voiced particular outrage at the deaths and grievous injuries of thousands of children in Gaza, which he said would remain a stain on all of humanity. "This assault on present and future generations must end," he said. Philip Lazzarini, head of the United Nations Agency supporting Palestinian refugees known as UNRWA, said the hellhole in Gaza is deepening by the day. "All lines, including the red lines, were crossed. This war is made far worse through technologies misused by humans to harm other humans en masse." Writing on X, formerly known as Twitter, Philip Lazzarini said, "It is made worse by the famine born from an Israeli-imposed siege on Gaza. One would think it's from a different era. As a result, a man-made famine is eating up bodies of babies and young children." The head of UNICEF, Catherine Russell, said more than 13,000 children have reportedly died in the Palestinian territories. "Homes, schools and hospitals are in ruin. Teachers, doctors and humanitarians killed. Famine is imminent." Catherine Russell, the head of UNICEF, said on X, formerly known as Twitter, on Saturday, 6th of April. The United Nations humanitarian chief Martin Griffiths insisted on Saturday, 6th of April, that there needed to be a reckoning for this betrayal of humanity. The World Health Organization chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus pointed out that over 70% of those who have died in Gaza have been women and children. He said, "We urge all parties to silence their guns, and we appeal for peace right now."
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri wa salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Amir, what does it mean? Amir means the leader, the commander, and the chief, or the head of a group. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers, the commander of the faithful ones, the chief of the believers. And this is actually connected with this ayat from Surah Nisa, ayat 59, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul wa ulul amr minkum. O you who believe, obey Allah, obey His messenger, and those who have the amr from among you. Amr means authority. And the word Amr and Amir are all from the same root. And so basically this title of Ali as Amir al-Mu'mineen is an explanation of this ayat of Ulul Amr. After Rasul, those whose obedience towards them is wajib, the first one is Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. Who gave him this title? And on the 13th of Rajab, we talked about this also, that this is an exclusive title of Ali only. You cannot describe the second Imam, the third Imam, the sixth Imam, or even the 12th Imam is Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is exclusively for Ali. What history did later on, well, we know when we get time, we'll talk about it. But this is a title given to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Just two narrations. There are many, many more. But we don't have the time for, you know, going through all the details. One is from Anas bin Malik. Anas bin Malik was the servant of our Prophet. You know, he used to basically help out in home. And there is a narration where he says, one day the Prophet called me, "Ya Anas, askib li wudu." Anas, go and bring water for me for wudu. ثم قال فصلى ركعتين. The Prophet, you know, did the wudu and recited two rakat. After the two rakat, the Prophet turns to Anas and he says, "Ya Anas, أول من يدخل عليك من هذا الباب أمير المؤمنين سيد الوصيين قائد الغر المحجلين خاتم الوصيين." Hello, Anas. The first person to enter my home from this door would be Amir al-Mu'mineen. He will be Sayyid al-Muslimin. And we'll come to the meaning later on. Khatum al-Wasiyin, Qaid al-Ghur al-Muhajjaleen. Anas is a citizen of Medina. He's from Ansar. So, you know, tribal jealousy comes in. Anas himself, you know, confesses, he says, when Rasulullah said that, in my heart I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Allahumma ja'alhu rajulan min al-ansar." O Allah, the first person to enter this door, O Allah, make him to be from the tribe of Ansar. He said, then somebody knocked on the door. And I didn't pay attention knowingly. Is Ja'a Aliyun. Rasulullah heard. And Rasulullah said, "Man hadha ya Anas?" Who is this at the door? He was forced. Anas says, "It's Ali." He says, "Open the door, let him come in." And this is where we see that the application of the term Amirul Mu'mineen from Rasulullah to Ali ibn Abi Talib is there according to the source of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, by the narration of none other than Anas bin Malik. The Prophet stood up when Ali came in, mustabshiran, very happy to see him. He hugged him and even, you know, touched his forehead with the forehead of Ali, which was a little bit not normal all the time. And so Ali says, "Ya Rasulullah, laqad ra'aytuka sana'ta shay'an ma sana'ta bi qabl." Ya Rasulullah, you haven't welcomed me the way you done it now. And this is where the Prophet says, according to Anas bin Malik, "Ma yamna'ani," what would prevent me from welcoming you in this way? "Anta tu'addi anni," you are the one who are going to convey the message on my behalf. وَتُسْمِعُهُمْ صَوْتِي, you will make the people listen to my voice. Your voice will become my voice. تُبَيِّنُ لَهُمْ مَخْتَلَفُ فِيهِ بَعْدِي, and after me, whenever there are disputes or disagreements, you are the one who is going to clarify the issues for the Muslims after me. Another narration is from Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Through his chain of narration going all the way to Abdullah ibn Abbas, where he says that I heard the Prophet saying, "Laysa min ayatin fil Quran, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, illa ala ra'siha wa amiriha wa sharifiha aliyun." The Prophet said that there is not a single ayat in Quran which begins with the words, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu," but that Ali is the head of that group, Amir of that group, and the most noble one of that group. And then Abdullah ibn Abbas makes a comment there. He says, "Laqad ataballahu ashaba Muhammad fil Quran, that you read the Quran, you will see there are many places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rebuked some of the companions of the Prophet. وَمَا ذَكَرَ عَلِيًّا إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ. But wherever Allah has mentioned Ali in the Quran, it is always بِخَيْرٍ, in a positive and good manner. So Ali would be at the highest level of that iman. But even when we talk about illuminous hearts, which are at the level of yaqeen, they are stable, they don't waver. Yet among that group, you will see there are levels. Leave aside the normal people like us. Look at the Anbiya. Even among Anbiya, there is different categories. You have Anbiya and Mursaleen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in two places, He says, you know, I have preferred and excelled some Anbiya over the other. And even when it comes to Mursaleen, He says the same thing. Some of them are superior than the others. And among those who are Mursaleen, the messengers, there are five who are at the top. And among them, one of them is Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. One day he was passing by a sea or a river where he saw a dead animal, half of the body in the water, half on the land. He saw these, you know, the animals from the sea are eating on one side and the land animals eating from the other side. And he just thought about it. If a human being, you know, this is what happens to him, how is Allah going to resurrect that body? Eating from, you know, animals on both sides, sea and land. So he was very amazed. So he says, and this is in Quran, Surah Baqarah 260, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. O my Lord, show me how you are going to bring the dead back to life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ibrahim, you were asking me this? أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِن? Don't you have iman? And Ibrahim says, Bala, yes Allah, I have absolute iman on this issue that you can do this. وَلَكِنْ لَيَتْمَعَنَّ قَلْبِي. I just want to have this extra assurance in my heart. I want to elevate the level of conviction that I have, the level of itminan that I have, the level of yaqeen that I have. So it's not that he is doubting. So even among those who have the level of yaqeen, there are levels there. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, you believe in what I said? I don't even want to show you. I'll give you the power to resurrect. So bring four birds. Kill them. You know, mix their parts all together. Divide them into four areas. And then you yourself call them to become alive. And they will become alive by your call and your command. And they will come to you. So this is what we call, you know, haqqul yaqeen, where you are actually doing something, not that you just saw it or you heard about it. Because you can have yaqeen on different level. So Ibrahim was not doubting anything. He's an Ulul Azam prophet. But yet he had this desire to reach to a higher level of yaqeen. Keep that standard in mind. Then go to Amirul Mu'mineen and ask him, and he will tell you, لَوْ كُشِفَ الْغِطَى مَزْدَدْتُ يَقِينًا. If all the veils are lifted from the front of me, there will be not a dot of increase in my certainty in yaqeen.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim Kareem Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mateen Ghafur Shakur Wadud Qayyum Ra'uf صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
A British charity has launched a nationwide billboard campaign that calls on the British government to end its arms sales and trade agreements with Israel. The Human Aid and Advocacy, which works worldwide, has launched its No to Genocide campaign in 98 locations across the United Kingdom. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Reuters news agency has covered this story and tells us more. Britain's Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is facing mounting pressure over the country's arms sales to Israel, which assassinated seven aid workers working for the World Central Kitchen, WCK, in an airstrike in the Gaza Strip recently. In a letter signed on Wednesday, 3rd of April, more than 600 prominent figures, including lawyers, academics and retired senior judges, urged Prime Minister Sunak to end arms sales to Israel as a measure to prevent genocide in Gaza. They described the present situation in Gaza as catastrophic, warning that the United Kingdom government is breaching international laws by continuing to arm the Israeli occupying regime. The signatories wrote, "While we welcome the calls by your government for a cessation of fighting and the unobstructed entry to Gaza of humanitarian assistance, simultaneously to continue to take two striking examples, the sale of weapons and weapon systems to Israel, and to maintain threats of suspending UK aid to UNRWA, falls significantly short of your government's obligations under international law." The 17-page letter further called for the government to work towards a permanent ceasefire and to impose sanctions upon individuals and entities who have made statements inciting genocide against Palestinians. It also stressed that restoring funding to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, is necessary for effective entry and distribution of the means of existence to Palestinians in Gaza, and by extension, the prevention of genocide in Gaza. The letter further emphasized that the International Court of Justice's conclusion that there exists a plausible risk of genocide in Gaza has placed London on notice that weapons might be used in its commission and that the suspension of their provision is thus a means likely to deter and/or a measure to prevent genocide. While Conservative MPs have piled pressure on Prime Minister Rishi Sunak over the country's arms sales to Israel, saying the United Kingdom should stop exporting arms to Tel Aviv following the strike on World Central Kitchen aid workers. The Liberal Democrats, Scottish National Party, SNP and a former UK National Security Advisor have also called for arms sales to Israel to be suspended. First Minister, Hamza Youssef has also urged an immediate end to arms sales from the United Kingdom to Israel in a letter to Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. The Labour Party has not called for a suspension, but is urging the government to publish internal legal advice on whether Israel is in breach of international laws. On Tuesday, 2nd of April, Gaza's government media office said at least 7 foreign aid workers working for World Central Kitchen had been assassinated in an Israeli airstrike in Deir al-Balah in central part of the Gaza Strip. It said the foreigners included citizens of Australia, Britain and Poland. The British victims were identified as John Chapman, James Henderson and James Kirby, who were all military veterans. Speaking to the Sun newspaper, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak described the deaths as an awful tragedy, saying the United Kingdom wanted to see a dramatic increase in the amount of aid getting into Gaza. Sunak also called for an independent investigation into the Israeli airstrike, but stopped short of saying arms sales to Israel should end. The Middle East Eye has also covered the same story and tells us more. A British charity has launched a nationwide billboard campaign that calls on the British government to end its arms sales and trade agreements with the Israeli regime. The Human Aid and Advocacy, which works worldwide, has launched its No to Genocide campaign in 98 locations across the United Kingdom. Using quotes from Israeli Minister of War Yoav Gallant declaring a complete siege on Gaza, as well as pictures of starvation unfolding in the Palestinian territory, the British charity said it aims to mobilize communities to stand up for Palestine. Noor Chaudhry, the founder of the Human Aid and Advocacy, said the group had been organizing the campaign for nearly a month, but faced delays due to some advertising agencies cancelling at the last minute. Noor Chaudhry told the Middle East Eye, "We originally planned to go with one company, but despite our advert not breaking their terms and conditions, they refused because they thought it could offend someone." Chaudhry added, "We then exchanged emails with the company and found another one that said they'd take on our advertising if the Advertising Standards Agency approved it. The Advertising Standards Agency admitted that we might court some controversy given the topic we're running an advert for, but concluded that it did not breach any of the rules." Responding to claims that the billboard campaign was provocative, Chaudhry said the advert was factual and that the Advertising Standards Agency had approved the facts before being placed on billboards. Chaudhry, who has a team working in the Gaza Strip, also told the UK-based news website that 18 members of his team had been massacred in Israel's incessant bombardment of Gaza over the past few months. He said, "There is a degree of hypocrisy in how, on the one hand, the United States and Britain are dropping aid and, on the other hand, they are selling arms, which is being used to kill Palestinians in Gaza." Chaudhry added, "The whole situation is dehumanizing to the Palestinians and creating havoc on the ground." The billboard campaign comes as pressure is mounting on Britain and its other Western allies to stop selling arms to the Israeli regime amid the rising death toll from the months-long war in Gaza, and warning by the United Nations that an Israeli-made famine is imminent in the besieged Palestinian territory. Also recently, British parliamentarians urged the British government to immediately restore funding to the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees, known as UNRWA, amid widespread hunger and an unfolding famine in Gaza. In a letter to the British Foreign Secretary David Cameron, 50 MPs and members of the House of Lords urged the British government to reinstate funding for the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, without delay. UNRWA is the primary United Nations agency delivering healthcare and essential humanitarian support to the Palestinian population trapped in the besieged territory. In a statement in late January, the British government announced that it was pausing funding to UNRWA in the wake of Israel's baseless claim that the agency's staff were involved in Operation Al-Aqsa Storm. 115 parliamentarians called on London to pressure Israel not to use starvation as a weapon of war, to resume UNRWA funding and set a deadline by which Israel must abide by the provisional measures of the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza. The Israeli regime launched its war on Gaza on 7th of October last year, after the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas carried out Operation Al-Aqsa Storm against the usurping entity in retaliation for the Israeli regime's intensified atrocities against Palestinians. The Israeli regime has also cut off fuel, electricity, food and water to more than 2 million Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the first sermon delivered on April 22, 2023 by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, at the Eid al-Fitr prayer in Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah alayhi, Musalla in Tehran. I congratulate all faithful Muslim brothers all over the world and the great nation of Iran and you who pray on the blessed occasion of Eid al-Fitr. I congratulate you on spending a fruitful month of Ramadan full of divine generosity this year. the faithful help that people provided in this month, helping orphans, the needy, and the poor, I mean one of the most important duties in the month of Ramadan is this public presence and being by the side of the underprivileged and the poor. Moreover, there is this huge movement of people on the Quds Day, when the faithful people turned out massively throughout the country, even though they had kept a vigil during the previous night and were fasting on that day. These are divine blessings. These are divine favors. The month of Ramadan is both the month of supplication and the month of jihad, struggle.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
At the beginning of the advent of Islam, the Battle of Badr was in the month of Ramadan, and the conquest of Mecca was in the month of Ramadan. Also, in these years, Quds Day is the day of the struggle of the Iranian nation, and thank God, other nations also joined in this year, and their presence was widespread on a very large scale. Our people had many achievements in this month. Tenderness of heart, closeness to God, purity of soul, attention and advice towards spirituality, getting acquainted with many divine and Islamic teachings, and dealing a blow to the enemy on the Quds Day. These were the achievements of you, dear people, you faithful people, and you, the great nation of Iran, in this month. My request is to maintain these achievements. These are spiritual reserves. Keep these reserves for yourself until next year's Ramadan, and God willing, strengthen the spirit during next year's Ramadan. It is this spirit that will advance the nation materially and spiritually. It will solve all the problems, and by God's grace will bring you to the peak of the divine and spiritual movement that Islam has planned for the Muslim society.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.